So today we are joined by probably one of the most famous people within the functional fitness realm, a past CrossFit Games winner, and probably one of the most famous British people within CrossFit and functional fitness we've ever spoken to.
Probably one of the scariest as well. I was quite scared.
Is it because her biceps were bigger than your head?
She's big, isn't she? Like in a nice, lovely way. She's a beast. But a friendly giant, as we found out in this podcast. Lovely. Again, a great podcast. Obviously, we're reaching into the realms of other sports now and trying to venture into things like CrossFit and functional fitness. And Sam Briggs, obviously Luke hasn't announced it. We all know who it is by now. Sam Briggs. She took a bit of time out of her morning to talk to us. Great, really. It's good to have some non-OCR athletes that are sort of going into the realms of OCR. Obviously, you find out in this podcast that she did the Spartan Games just gone a few weeks back, and she's interested in doing a few Spartan races. If she can fit it into her training, which is interesting to know that, you know, doing the Spartan Games has made her want to actually go and do a Spartan race, which is quite kind of cool, isn't it, I suppose? Lovely girl. We get a bit of insight about her, you know, how she started with football and duathlon, and how then she went on to trail running and started doing weights, would you believe, just for just to strengthen up her running, and then realized that she preferred weights than anything else. So, you know, 2000-ish, I think her CrossFit era started, and a few years later she's winning the world, the biggest thing you can win in CrossFit, which is the CrossFit Games. But great interview. I mean, Luke, how did you find it?
Yeah, really good. Great to talk to somebody who's got that like wealth of experience throughout different kind of sports, and then really excelled at one functional fitness kind of area, and obviously made a huge name for herself in there, and is still going even at the back end of 30s. She's still competing. I think last year she won a few sanctional events, and she placed really well this year. I think she was like third in Dubai, which was a stacked field, and then obviously she competed at stage one of the CrossFit Games, so it's great to see her take on a Spartan related event, a new event that they created, and then for her to say that, oh, I kind of fancy doing a few of the races afterwards after seeing that. Yeah, it was really good to hear. But a great episode. Enjoy, guys, and let us know what you think about it.
Yeah, indeed. So without any further ado, here is Samantha Briggs talking to me and Luke on OCR Audio. Enjoy.
Excellent. So thanks for joining us today on OCR Audio. We are joined by Samantha Briggs, CrossFit Games champion from 2013. Samantha, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Thanks a lot for taking some time out of your busy day to join the podcast. We basically got you on because recently you've taken part in the Spartan Games. How did you find it?
Very interesting. I think like just from the get-go, it was pretty much kind of secretive like what the events would be. I had 2 weeks notice. So everything was very much like, can you make it? Yes. Okay. See you in 2 weeks.
That sounds very Spartan.
Yeah. Now, 2 weeks notice. Now, did you meet Joe before? Is that how it came about, or did they just reach out to you? How did that happen?
No, so actually, when we got there on the first day, that was the first time that I've ever experienced Joe.
Very nicely.
No, that's good. Excellent. And how did you find Joe? He's an interesting character for sure.
Yeah, definitely. He's a larger than life character. Very much doesn't care like what anybody else thinks. It's like, this is me, this is what I think, this is what I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
deal with it.
This is my farm, you're doing what I say type of attitude. Yeah.
So before we delve more into the Spartan Games and chat a little bit about the events and stuff, obviously you are a legend in the CrossFit area, past CrossFit Games champion from 2013. How has training been for you for the CrossFit this year? Obviously a very different year from normal. How has it been for yourself?
Yeah, obviously everybody's experienced a very different year. 2020 has been one of those years where we've not known what we're training for. Competitions have been getting postponed, cancelled, going online. A lot of people have had difficulty with gyms closing. Mm-hmm. So it's been a very different year for sure. I was lucky in the sense that my season was very much early on. So I still competed in a lot of competitions at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, before a lot of them got cancelled. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky in the effect that I had already qualified for the CrossFit Games through a earlier competition. Mm-hmm. So I still had the games to compete in. We just didn't know
how,
when it kept getting knocked back, and then exactly how that was going to come out. But it just meant that even through all the uncertainty, I had to keep training and making sure that I was ready if and when we got a competition.
For sure. And obviously in the world of CrossFit, it's something that a lot of things are happening. There's a lot of virtual events happening. In CrossFit, virtual has been pretty much since the get-go. You've had like the open workouts, which have been virtual for quite a number of years. And it's very common to have like event qualifiers to be virtual first. And obviously a lot of other people are doing virtual events now because lockdown has kind of pushed them into it. How do you feel virtual is to real life? What's your kind of feeling towards either of them?
I definitely like miss the in-person like competition. I like being amongst other athletes, and I'm definitely one that can push better when I'm competing against people, and I can kind of like see where I am. Mm-hmm. And find that extra 10% to push that little bit harder. So I definitely miss that aspect. But saying that, like with the uncertainty that we've all had this year, we are in a like privileged position that we can revert back to having like some competition like still online. Rogue did a really good job with turning their sanctional into an online competition, and still made it quite a brutal like competition, even though it was online and you weren't in person.
Do you see a future to it, Sam? Like, I know obviously they keep saying this is the new normal and we will go back to normal, but do you see CrossFit definitely a future in virtual events going forward? Can you see it working? No,
I have like the whole thing with CrossFit is the big thing is the community, and people love to go and watch these competitions. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the games footage, but it's always sold out. There's always like tons of people, and it becomes a lot of the big competitions are more like fitness festivals. Yeah. And it is very much about the in-person experience.
Yeah,
for sure. And obviously you own a gym in Manchester. Is it Train Manchester?
Yeah, that's correct.
And have you guys seen a lot of like virtual stuff from the gym, or did you see a lot of people coming in after the first lockdown into Manchester?
During the first lockdown, and then obviously as of today there's the second lockdown in the UK, turn our classes into virtual classes and just try and be a little bit more inventive in ways of still providing a service to our members, even though they can't get into the gym, to make them still feel like they're a valued part of like the gym, and to make them like want to still continue to pursue their fitness goals, even if they can't get into the gym and have the in-person training.
For sure. So obviously you own the gym in Manchester, but are you living out in the States now, like full time?
I am, yes. So I came out to the States. I was originally like moving out here, but I came out to compete in a competition in February. And the plan was to come back to the UK in April. I still got all my stuff in a flat in Manchester. And then I was going to officially move out here kind of like May, June time. Mm-hmm. But with that's when COVID first struck. So my flights got cancelled. So during COVID, I've ended up buying a house here in the US. And so I've still got to come back to the UK and officially move out.
Just come back to say, all right, I'm going again.
Yeah.
So where is home now in America there, Sam? Sorry?
I'm in Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and that any for reason that area, just like it, or is there good links to CrossFit there, or?
Yeah, so originally I was out here in 2014-15, and that's when I met my partner. And then due to visa restrictions and stuff, I've been back in the UK, finally allowed back in the US as a permanent resident now.
Right.
Took a good few years, but finally, they finally allowed me.
They allowed you back.
Nice. Sam, I'm really interested. I'm actually quite nervous having you on. We've had quite a few big stars. The first time I'm a bit like, oh! But I'm going to take you right back. So let's go like back to Sam as a little girl. Where did this journey that's obviously gone nuts for you, but where did it all start? Like, how does Sam Briggs get, well, firstly, how did you get to CrossFit? But before that, what was your thing?
So, I mean, as a young Sam Briggs, I like to do a lot of different sports. It was mainly, I played football, rugby. I ran cross country, did a little bit of cross country mountain biking. I did karate, kickboxing, like anything that I could kind of like get involved in, I would do. But the main thing was football. That's what I did right from being tiny up until I was about 25, 26 when I retired from football. So it wasn't until I retired from that I was looking for something to do. I started running for a club and doing amateur like triathlons.
Right.
And then somebody recommended doing CrossFit to get stronger for the triathlons. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that I was better at CrossFit than I was triathlons.
And so what year would that have been?
So I started CrossFit in 2009 and qualified for my first games in 2010.
And pardon my ignorance, was that quite big in the UK in 2009 or?
No, it was still relatively new. I think the first CrossFit gym opened up in the UK in like 2007.
Yep.
So it was still like in its infancy in the UK and in Europe in general. 2010 was the first time that the games became a bit more mainstream and was actually in a stadium instead of just on a ranch. So my first experience of the games was the first year that it was at the StubHub Center in California.
Right.
So I kind of like have grown with the games.
Yeah, sure. And did you at that time, did you realize how good you were, or were you still just like this little, oh, I'm having fun, you know, throwing a few weights around, or did you generally realize that you were pretty good at this?
No, I mean, like 2010 was definitely, oh, I'll take part in these competitions for kind of like fun. Triathlon was still my kind of like main goal. And I was also working full time as a firefighter.
Right.
And then, I mean, obviously I trained hard, but kind of qualified for the games kind of by accident. It wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm going to qualify for the games. No. It was, oh, I'm going to take part in the UK sectional, which was how you qualified for regionals at the time. Obviously try hard. And I ended up winning that and qualifying for regionals. And that was in Sweden. And I came second at regionals in Sweden, which qualified me for the games. So, yeah, the first year at the games, I finished 19th. And that year at the games, only the top 10 did the final event. And that's when I was kind of like sat in the crowd watching the final event and being like, you know what, I want to do this like properly. Like, I want to be here next year and be in that final event. Mm-hmm. I want to be like one of those top athletes.
Do you know what? I love that feeling. I've had the exact similar thing with OCR. When you go and do a race, it's all a bit of fun. You enjoy it. You finish. And then you look and you go, do you know what? I want to come back and be that person on that podium, or come back and be that quicker person. So do you go grab a coach? I mean, how do you get to be that person at that time? Was it a coach? Was it that type of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. It was. So I'd already qualified for the age group world championships that year for duathlon in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. So I made the decision that would be my last competitive like endurance event. Just because I didn't really struggle on the fitness side, it was more the strength side. So whilst I was still trying to train for triathlon, it was a lot harder to try and put on any like muscle mass and like gain.
I know that.
And yes, started working with a coach just to try and like refine my movement pattern. Sorry, my dog's starting to bark.
That's all right.
You'd be good.
What's your dog's name?
He's called Groot, as in I am Groot.
I am Groot. Okay. Groot. Marvel fan, like it.
So working with a coach, and it was just kind of refining like movement. Like being a firefighter, I had like the like raw strength that we needed to like do the job, and I would go in the gym with the guys at work. But then it was refining those movement patterns and being able to do the Olympic lifts and improve on the gymnastics side, which was needed for CrossFit and needed to take it the next level from being 19th to getting like into that final portion.
Well, you obviously did a very good job. Fast forward a few years and you won the games in 2013, which was an amazing achievement. Really good. And then, Spartan Games, obviously this year. How did you find those compared to a CrossFit competition? Obviously, they're a little completely different, 2 weeks' notice. How did you find that to a live CrossFit competition?
So, as soon as I found out, we took part in the online portion of the CrossFit Games. Mm-hmm. And I finished that, so it should have been my off season. I had a week of very little training and a little bit of eating what I wanted and kind of chilling out.
We love those weeks.
When I got the phone call, I was like, "Oh, okay, best start doing a little bit of training."
Was it something you wanted to do? Was it straight away? You were like, "Yeah, definitely," or did you go, "I'm not really sure. It's not really my thing." You know,
no, definitely. So how the CrossFit Games went this year is only the top five got invited out to take part in the in-person part of the competition. So I missed out on that. I missed out on the in-person competition. So it didn't really matter to me what we were going to be doing.
Right.
I'd already trained all year to be put through tests. And the fact that we were going to be able to have an in-person competition, I was like,
That must have been your first one, like recently this year, is it? Like the first time you've actually
The last one that I did was February in Miami.
Oh, bloody hell. So literally anything it's like someone goes to me now, do you want a race, 100 miler? Yeah, let's do it. You know, just go for it. Yeah. Sign up. So just a quick question before we talk about the Spartan Games. Obviously, you watched the CrossFit finals. How would you, and obviously you did that thing where I do, like when I watch Matt Fraser do the sled push, I'm like, I could do that. I could beat him on that. I could beat him on the 10K trial run. Did you do that, watching the TV? Did you sit there and go, I would have had that. I would have done that. I would have beaten that. How do you feel you would have fared up? I know that's harsh saying this because they're all good friends, but.
I think it was very weird to watch this year with only five athletes because anybody who doesn't know what's happening and they're watching five, one person every time would look like not as good as the rest. Whereas normally if you've got a multitude of people there, there's a more even like spread. So it's very hard to like watch when there's only five in the first place. But knowing there were certain events where I would have struggled and there were certain events where I would have excelled. You know how you are as an athlete, and you know roughly where you would have kind of like placed. Obviously things change when it's in person and you've got the accumulative effect of all the other events. Mm-hmm. I think they did well with the programming. I think it was a pretty cool events and some very different tests. I would have just liked to have seen more athletes there to have then been a bigger push and a bigger challenge. Like when there's only five athletes, it's hard for anybody to take away points from Matt or Tia. Whereas when you've got
Was the five thing, was that a COVID thing then? Or was it just something they chose to do? Or
that was the COVID thing. They were struggling to get a permit to run the event in California.
Mm. Okay. And what would your favourite event have been? Have you tried any?
I haven't tried any. I'm actually back training now. I'm just nearly finished my third week back. And just my focus after doing the Spartan Games is like strength focus at the moment. So I've not actually tried any of the events yet. Mm-hmm. Ones that I like, I think I would have done well on the trail run. Would I have liked it? Probably not, because of the you've just run 3 miles as hard as you can, and then Dave Castro tells you to turn around and run it back.
Would you have beaten all the guys as well as the girls on the trail run?
Well, we've had that test before with Fraser, and he was one of the guys that beat me, so probably not. Would I have beaten the other guys? Probably.
Yeah. Fair it is. That's good. That's which out of them, which was your favourite one that you would have liked to have done out of all the tests you did at the Games?
I liked the concept of the swim event where you never really knew. I mean, you could tell as a person watching it, but the athletes never knew where they were because it was their accumulative event, accumulative time. But they had to go as fast as they could, and then they were resting and went back the opposite way and then went again. And I think that was unique in two respects out of games workouts, because you never really have a work and a rest. So it kept the intensity really high for one. And then for two, there's never been where you're going in one direction and then you've got to totally flip that on your head and like go the other way. So I thought that was an interesting concept. And a lot of the times the swim events don't get paired with other workout, so it was good to see that they had the bike at one end and they were doing the slam ball and the GHDs at the other. So that was pretty cool. I think I would have enjoyed that event.
Yeah, it's different. Definitely good.
I was going to say, bring it back to Spartan Games then. Yeah, so you go to this ranch. I mean, we've got a couple of good mates that did it. So Nicole and Aaron and people like that, all Spartan athletes, obviously we know quite well. So we know generally you got tested if you're clean. Obviously you went on this ranch or Joe's Vermont ranch. What happens? You obviously you can't announce any results. Obviously we get that. It's going to be shown online later on this year, but so you'll get in a group. Have you met anybody in this room before? Do you know any of these athletes?
So just before we were going to travel, one of the athletes, one of the other CrossFit athletes got in touch with me, and she'd found out that I was doing it and just was seeing if what I wanted to travel together. So we like shared a rental car and stuff. But outside of that, I didn't know any of the other athletes, kind of who they were, like which backgrounds they were coming from or anything. It was kind of show up at the ranch and then people would start turning up. You're like, hi. So at first everybody's kind of like stood around, not really saying much.
But first then, school.
That's kind of what it was. Everybody's just like, yeah. But then there'd be other athletes, like a few of the other Spartan athletes or OCR athletes, they would know each other. So then they start talking and then they start some banter between them. And then everybody else starts relaxing and just kind of like joining in the banter then. And yeah, we just kind of like stood around for a little while until we were then taken into the barn.
Who did you naturally gravitate towards, Sam? Who did you go, oh, I like the look of that, or... I bet Hunter came and said he likes your biceps, surely. He must have mentioned your biceps, surely.
No, he was pretty polite at first.
Oh, bless him. Poor Hunter. Yeah, the mullet is just enough on its own. Life on its own. So how did Joe introduce himself? He is a flamboyant character at times. I'm sure he had a nice speech for you guys about the games, the Spartan games.
He didn't really get much like speech into the games. He just kind of then, we were all just in the barn and we walk in and discover that we're sleeping on like put up beds, like on the floor in like a barn. It was like being on a school camping trip, but it actually ended up being really cool because you got to know the other athletes. But the first response is like, seriously, I'm sleeping in a room with...
Sleeping there with the pig? Gosh.
11 other athletes with like that much space between each bed.
You're lucky you've got a bed, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, that's what we realised we were lucky when Joe actually like turned up and said that he was shocked that we actually got beds.
Yeah.
And then he made us do some work for him. He wanted us to go up the mountain and move some rocks for him.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And how many burpees did you do, Sam?
Oh.
How many what?
Burpees. Did he make you do any burpees?
No, he didn't make us do burpees.
What?
We walked up the mountain with a bucket and we had to fill the bucket with rocks, carry it to the side of the house, empty it and fill, and then walk back down to the stream, fill it with rocks, walk it back up to the house and just do that until it was starting to get dark and then... Yeah. We were allowed to go and have dinner.
That sounds a very Joe Dispenza thing to do.
And so what was the first event of the Spartan Games then? What was the first official event?
I'm trying to think now. I think we had a Spartan, they called it the Spartan Cross event.
Yeah.
Like a short course, Spartan obstacle course.
Yeah.
So you've done obstacle courses before at the CrossFit Games in a few different years. How did the Spartan short course kind of match up? Was it difficult? Were some of the obstacles weird? Or was it very easy? What was it like?
So I'm one of those athletes that tends to overthink things. So when it comes to like the obstacle courses and stuff, I'm not one that tends to just kind of like throw themselves at things. So I had to try and like ignore all my natural instincts of trying to overanalyze because at the very last minute they brought in a rule that if you were the last person through on the, you weren't allowed to like continue with the race. So I just had to go for it. I'm like, I don't want to be cut. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. And one of the things that I said after is I would like to do a couple of races, obviously if it timed well with my season, but I felt it would be a good thing to throw into my training just because it forced me like out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, so Luke, if all this talk of Spartan racing, Spartan Games, CrossFit, and of course we've had a bit of a crappy 2020, but we can look forward to 2021. Spartan earlier this month announced their 2021 venues, mm-hmm. a few of their 2021 venues starting in June.
Yep.
We go to Wales. Then July, we go to the Midlands,
mm-hmm.
One of my favourite courses there. 25th, we go back up to the Highlands. We go back to Queensbury in Scotland.
Yep.
9th of October, we're at South East. Then we go to my favourite of last couple of years is Twickenham Stadion on the 11th of December. So if you fancy, and I definitely fancy, and I think Luke, I think obviously we will be racing, but
we'll be
looking forward to getting back there, to be fair. But if you fancy racing, why don't you join us on the course? Use our OCR audio code, which is Spartan Audio, all capital, to get booked in. Grab yourself a bit of a discounted rate on any of those races. Yeah, go and get it. Look forward to 2021. Let's get rid of 2020. Let's write it off and look forward for 2021 June.
Yeah, definitely join us. There's a couple of new venues in there. Obviously, Wales, Southeast, Pippinford. We'd hoped to have done that this year. But also, they got the trail races coming in as well. So that might be interesting to jump on some of those. If you don't quite think obstacles, you're just there yet, you just want to come, enjoy the atmosphere, get in and see an event, sign up to one of the trail races as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, those trail races should. I mean, we haven't had one yet here in the UK, but realistically, if they put those trail events on the courses where the obstacles would be, I always think when I'm running those courses, you know, this would be a good trail event anyway without the obstacles, you know. So 20th of June in Wales, and then the 25th of July in Midlands. There's a few trail races, and then the 10th of October in South London. So one all over the country for someone to go and try for sure. 10K. Good distance and should be a good run. So yeah, catch us out there. Capital letters, Spartan Audio. Do you feel like you can throw yourself at these times? Obviously, this is a fun event for you. It's not too serious. It's a little bit more lighthearted, but it is still an event. Are you the sort of person that can actually throw yourself at it? Or do you start to think injury, you know what, I'll hold off a little bit. It's not really my bag, you know. Or are you just completely super competitive like me and would just go out even though you know you've got no chance?
Yeah, it's more of that. As soon as the switch goes and it's like 3-2-1 go, you can't help it.
Like,
you're a true competitor. You can't stop that. It just happens. Even if you have the intention of, oh, I'll take it a little bit easy there, as soon as you're going and there's somebody else right next to you or somebody's like coming up behind you, you're like, nope, I'm off.
I want to win. Oh, so obviously the events were very varied, very different. They had endurance mountain bike event. Was there a trail run as well?
I'm not sure Sam's used to 5 or 6 hours of trail running though, to be fair.
How did you find the endurance side of those events, those two?
I think the run definitely took a lot more out of me. The bike, like, I really enjoyed once I kind of got used to being back on a bike. I've not really done any mountain biking for a long time, so definitely the first lap was just getting accustomed to being back on. Like, I do a lot of road bike cycling, so it's not the it's not that I can't, don't have like the effort. It's more the sighting and knowing kind of like what you can go over and kind of assessing your abilities so that I wasn't like gonna kill myself on the bike, but I could still push it.
Talking about the course, the bike course, it was like labeled as semi-technical. But we saw some clips and there were some horrendous downhills where people were actually walking. And I saw one of the male athletes like have a little paddy as he was walking down the hill in a clip. The course looked pretty brutal. How was it?
Yeah, so the specifics that we got before the event, because you're allowed to take a bike if you had a bike. Obviously, I didn't have a bike. So they gave us the information so we could rent a bike. Rolling and non-technical.
Is that what it said?
Yes.
When I saw the downhill was like completely down, rocky, trees coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
It looked very technical.
It was pretty awesome though. I really enjoyed it. Once I kind of got accustomed to being back on a mountain bike again, and just kind of, it's very different just how you hold yourself and your weight shifts and stuff than being on a road bike. So as soon as I got back used to that, I actually really enjoyed the bike event and I was able to push myself. The run, however, kind of the longest that I would, sorry, I'm just going to hold the dog, kind of the longest that I do in my training is typically 5 to 10K. Like, a 10K would be a rarity, but I may do it in the run-up to a competition just my calves are a little bit more used to the potential if there's a longer run. So when they announced it was 6 hours max distance in the mountains.
Yeah, a little different from a 10K. Yeah,
I was like, that's... I didn't even know like how to prepare for that or like
recover.
What do I do?
just go, head down and go. But yeah,
I mean, would you say that Joe and the Spartan team, they actually prepped a games that does show the fittest? I mean, like for me, like a 6 hour, 5 hour mountain bike, that's a little bit further than the fittest. That is more, you know, individualized, unique, specialized, you know. Whereas I know those other, obviously, like there's weights and things like that are obviously going to favor you over a skinny endurance runner. But would you say he had a good balance, or was it really one way, really the other way?
I think that they wanted to show that they could push people like out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
So obviously the endurance athletes that were there, they obviously like shone on those events because that's what they train in day in and day out. But I think it was more the just to show and to like prove for like the other athletes, like you can actually like push yourself further than you think. Like, especially on the bike for some people. One of the girls, Christy Erimo, she'd never been on a mountain bike before. And she completed the minimum distance on like a really legit mountain bike course.
There you go, that's good.
So it was definitely, they did push the extremes quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But everybody survived and everybody, I think, gain something from each of the events.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear for someone like yourself, who's obviously a very, very amazing athlete in CrossFit terms. You're actually sitting here going, you know what? It made me think about this, and I might add a bit more of this into my training. Or not saying you're suggesting you're going to go do, you know, a 6 hour run, but you might think now, Sam, you know what? I'll take that 10K maybe to a 15K every so often, you know, just for, why not, for shits and giggles, because I can, you know. Maybe.
Well, funny enough, we're going to be doing an event for charity in December where I'm going to be running 50K. So,
there you go. Nice.
That's but it's not going to be
on a mountain. So, hopefully, my knees and hips won't feel as bad.
Because that's the other thing, you don't have a lot of time. So like, you've done that mountain bike course and the run course. I don't know where they came in the week, but you haven't got a lot of time. And then he's saying to you, right, guys, get ready for a wrestle in a pit. You know, he like, that's what I suppose, where someone like yourself is going to have a little bit more benefit, because you're going to be used to that competition after competition, post morning, afternoon, go the next day. Whereas some of the endurance guys, they're used to doing, especially nowadays in Spartan racing, the top athletes, they'll prep for probably one or two races in the season, you know. Whereas you're good to go, hopefully, averagely across the board, that should come out on top, hopefully.
Yeah, like I said, like for us that are typically used to doing shorter stuff, one of the things that we gained was that we have the ability to go longer. And speaking to some of the other athletes that we used to doing, they're doing endurance event and then rest for days, they were saying that they were surprised, like that they'd be like so sore and not feel like they could do anything, but all of a sudden they like wake up and like, and as soon as that 3-1 happens, they're like, I just like managed to do that. And so that was probably something that they gained from the experiences. They can push themselves for multiple events over multiple days, not just necessarily racing like once every couple of months.
Yeah.
Nice. That's interesting. Jack just mentioned it, wrestling in the pit. That was one of the most interesting events, I think, that that happened. There was a lot of video clips and pictures that came out of that one. How did you find that? How did you find the wrestling?
It was fun. I think a lot of people at first, when it was first announced, that was probably the one that some of the people were most worried about.
Yeah.
But I think once everybody kind of like stopped thinking about what could go wrong and did it, Nobody got injured. I mean, there were a few little scrapes and a few little bruises, but nobody got like seriously injured. And I think everybody actually really enjoyed it. And it did make for some of the best photos and footage.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really fun.
I think they should bring wrestling back. I think that's a great sport. I think it's a true, just proper, you know, get down a day. I like it. They could do bring out their CrossFit games, could they? That would work.
I would definitely like to wrestle a few athletes.
Naming no names.
Yes. No names. But no, it's very different from like the UK. There's wrestling as in that type isn't really a thing in the UK or not prevalent in sporting realms. People don't do that. Whereas in America, it does have a bit more of a sporting premise at college and their schools and stuff. So I'm sure the Americans had a bit more of a history of doing it. I know Hunter had done some before in
Broken Skull Challenge.
But how did you find your matches against people? Did you find that you took to it quite easy, that you managed just to lay them out?
Well, my first draw, so like out of the 12 athletes, we had a lot of endurance athletes. And then we had a couple of CrossFit athletes, and then there was an Olympic lifter. And so my first draw, I'm like, yes, okay, who am I going to get to wrestle? And I got the Olympic lifter. I was like,
oh, no. All of the skinny runners, and you got the Olympic.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, I was like envisaging that I could do like a big power drive. Or... and like, we were messing about before I even got like chance to wrestle her, and I just went up to her and she just basically picked me up and moved me to the side.
How did that get picked? Was it a case of was it just random, or obviously they realized that Sam Briggs could not take on Rhea Cobalt because that would just be so harsh?
It went off the leaderboards at the time, so
no worries. So out of all the events that you did, what was your favorite event?
I think the one that I kind of surprised myself more at was the vertical mile.
Mm-hmm.
So doing the long trail run, it was one of those decisions. I'd been running for 4.5 hours. And my feet, hips, and knees were like done. And I covered 5 miles more than the like minimum distance. So I like retired from the run there. And then afterwards, I was kind of beating myself up that I should have like continued running. And so the next event we had was the vertical mile, and like, so my feet were still beat up.
That's
my
so harsh.
And it was still like shot. But I was able to dig deep and kind of, I feel like I was able to like redeem myself from the run the previous day.
Yeah. So I suppose that also suits your sort of short CrossFit, because I suppose you knew how far it was. You had the time in your head. So all it was if I can manage my effort for that period of time, I could do quite well, you know, I suppose.
I think it became like, it was raining that morning, it was cold. It just became one of those that it was who was willing to, when they're already hurting from the run the day before, dig deep and push past that lactate.
Wind it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So it was just one of those that I felt like, okay, let's just see how much I'm willing to hurt.
Yeah. While at the games, you obviously came past Yancey Culp. I believe Yancey was there, wasn't he, with Ram Rowley. Yeah, you can't miss Rhett Yancey. So now you mentioned earlier about possibly doing a Spartan. Obviously, a big thing at the minute, especially in America, is this Hyrox and the DecaFit, the Spartan Games, that those type of CrossFit-y / OCR style thing. Is that something that interests you going forward, Sam?
So like I really enjoyed. We did two Deca. We did Deca strong and Deca heavy.
Yeah.
And like that's pretty much kind of like the style of like what we like train for. There just wasn't as much barbell or like high level gymnastics kind of in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those again where it was, if you could do the movements, it was like how much are you willing to hurt, how much are you willing to put yourself into a dark place and push, which I like doing. So I enjoyed the events. I think for me coming from more of a CrossFit background, it's to travel somewhere to do such a short event when I'm used to competing for 3 or 4 days. So.
Yeah, sorry, I was saying about DecaFit, wasn't I? And you, I think your response was that the problem with that type of thing is there's a lot of travel just for a short race. Was that the answer, Sam? Was it?
Yeah. So I think how I used to like compete, and when I was first getting into CrossFit, I would do a couple of the Tough Mudders and things like that, and I would travel just for one race or one like event. But now I'm used to like the CrossFit competitions where I'm competing for 3 or 4 days. So
yeah,
it would seem, yeah, I think it seems weird to me now to be like, well, I'd travel somewhere and I'd only be competing for 30 minutes. I'm like,
yeah,
that just seems a little bit alien to me now. But who knows? I might be over CrossFit in a couple of years and look forward to just doing something for 30 minutes instead of 4 days.
Or you might go the other way. You might go completely slower, Sam, but longer. You might become a trail runner.
Well, yep.
But so with the Spartan Games, obviously it was over a few days, and with the CrossFit Games and other CrossFit events, they're over a few days. Recovery, how did you manage your recovery at the Spartan Games? Because you had a lot of events, it sounds like, back to back. Was there anything specific you normally do?
Yeah, I think it's making sure that you're definitely eating enough. And the first few nights were definitely hard on the sleep. But mm-hmm. then as soon as you're like that tired and you've worked that hard, that cot became like the most comfortable bed that I've like ever slept in. So sleep's definitely a big thing. One thing that we're used to at the CrossFit Games and competitions like that is getting body work done.
Mm.
And that's something that was definitely not available at the Spartan Games, but like having things like I had a Theragun with me and just being able to make sure that any niggles didn't get any worse, just so that you could like try and prevent any injuries. And that became one of the good things about how we were all in kind of like a dorm style. Mm-hmm. One of the girls who was a PT, somebody had needed some taping up. And so she's like, oh, I know how to do that. I'll offer to do that. Somebody would have a foam roller and they'd be like, oh, you can borrow that. Like I lent my Theragun to somebody. And so we ended up just kind of like helping each other out, which I thought was a really nice like aspect to that. When we go to the CrossFit Games, we're all in our own like hotel room and you don't see the other athletes until you're in the warm-up area. And so it just actually became quite a cool experience. You got to know the athletes a lot better, and it definitely brought us all together.
Oh, that's good. That's good. How many calories do you eat out of interest, Sam? Is it something you follow, your nutrition, or is it, do you have a nutritionist? Are you quite strict? Is it just chocolate and crisps and whatever you like? Please tell me it's chocolate and crisps. Please tell me it's crap.
I wish it was just chocolate and crisps. No, you've got to fuel correctly. I typically am on around like 3,500 calories a day. Depending on where I am in the season. When I was doing stuff like the 5 hours mountain bike and then the 6 hours run, like I definitely think the calories were well up there into the like 4 and 5.
Nice. So what's Sam's big go-to? What's your go-to after a race or after an event?
Well, that was one of the hard things about the Spartan Games was obviously, because of COVID, we were in a bubble and we couldn't leave and like go and get food and stuff. So the food was provided for us. So you couldn't really like choose what you wanted to eat. We had done a little bit of shopping on the way there, So there was a lot of porridge, a lot of bagels, a lot of trail mix, that sort of thing, and a lot of nut butters. Just get calories in.
Yeah. Lots of nut peanut butter. Yes, that's got to be good.
Peanut butter for the win, all the time.
All the time.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Sam, for giving us a bit of insight into the Spartan Games. It's been great to chat to you and hear more about yourself and events this year. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about the Spartan Games or about training this year?
Oh, I think, whilst I was in the run and doing the Spartan Games, I was kind of in the mindset of, well, it's been fun, but I never want to do this again. As soon as I finished and we were leaving the ranch, I was like, if I got invited back next year, I'd definitely be there. But I think I'd do a couple more longer runs before
the Yeah. You think you'd prep more before the 2 weeks, were they cool?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit hard with only having the 2 weeks notice. I did do a couple of trail runs, but it was with the dog. So the pace was a little bit slower. And we only did 3 miles, so a little bit different to what I did at the Spartan Games.
Sam, a run is a run. Doesn't matter how far you go, a run is a run. That's fine.
You got on the trails. That was it.
He definitely enjoyed it, and we've done a couple since I've come back, and he's actually been able to pick up the pace a little bit more, and we've pushed it towards the 5 mile. So he's getting better at his trail runs.
Groot is improving. Groot, I like it. So it's interesting you say that, Sam, because I feel like this is something that Spartans tip their toe in, and knowing Spartan and how Jonas Enner likes to run, I can really see this now in his little ticker of his brain thinking, you know what, this is something that we might be able to do, you know, over and over again. I know there's talk of it now coming over to Europe. There's talk of it coming to the country. I mean, for instance, Spartan, the brand itself, just from going from, you know, Vermont all the way through to where it's at now, it's incredible to think that there's a race nearly in every country, the stats are amazing, really. I honestly do think that Joe's got that sort of mindset that he'll get the Spartan Games into Europe, and it might adapt a little bit. Yes, there might not be some 6 hour stupid trail runs, to be fair, but I think we'll definitely see something going to happen over the next few years, definitely, which is good. So, you know, of this bad COVID time we're going through, there is lots of good coming from it, I think, definitely. Yeah.
They did a really good job, and seeing as though they put it together in such short notice, it was an amazing experience, and things could only improve upon that weekend. So and I think what everybody achieved, and what hopefully the footage will show, is just how incredible everybody from such different backgrounds were able to push in events which are completely out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I hope that comes across in the documentary that they put out. And I think that could only grow and get better as they've learned from that weekend going forward.
Was there a specific sport background that you were surprised by, like a footballer or a CrossFit or an endurance? Were you quite impressed how some of the OCR endurance guys did quite well in your type of thing, and vice versa? Was there any particular thing that you were quite impressed by?
I think the biggest thing, the girl who runs the marathons, she her determination, going in and lifting the stones. Yeah. And you would see the fighting, and it's you don't need to do that. You don't need to lift that stone. But she wanted to. In the deck of heavy, there was deadlifts, and I think the girl's weight was 75 kilos for 10 reps. And she can't weigh any more than 50 kilos. They did the fact was they didn't have to do the deadlift. They were allowed to take a time penalty and go on to the next movement. But she was determined, and she got all 10 of those reps out. It was just the grit and determination that all the athletes showed, doing events which were completely out of any sort of comfort zone or anything that they've ever done before. It was I'm here to compete. And I'm gonna like try my best, even though it's something that they've never done or experienced before.
That's amazing.
That's good. That sounds like the athletes went in there with like a mindset to really turn it into a competition, put their all in, and like have something. Wow. I can't actually wait to watch this the little documentary now and see all of that on there. But
I think it's out soon, isn't it? I think it's out before Christmas, as we believe.
Soonish, hopefully.
They said winter 2020, so like we're in winter.
So are you really in
winter? UK, we're always in winter.
It's like -2 this morning over here. It's horrendous. Oh, stay out there, Sam. Don't come back.
Yeah, stay in the heat.
Unfortunately, it's cold in Ohio too. So like,
this is true. It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're in Ohio. You get to have a roll top garage and look cool. And you get look at that garage. This is being video, so I can say look at that amazing garage.
Yeah.
I had to get it done at, for lockdown so I can still train.
Fair dues. It's almost as big as my flat.
It's as big as my flat.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Sam. Thank you very much for giving us a bit of your time today and explaining more about your experiences at the Spartan Games. It's been great to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No worries. Like I said, thank you for having me on.
Good luck for the future. I hope to see you on some sort of Spartan or Tough Mudder course soon.
Yeah, great to see you out on some courses. Take Groot out on the course with you. I'm sure he'll love it.
I don't know how he'd deal with going across the monkey bars and stuff.
He's got four legs, he's fine.
Yeah, it's got the advantage. Right, thanks a lot, Sam. Have a great evening.
Sam.
Right, thanks, no worries.
So there it is, Luke. Sam Briggs, quality of interview. I mean, to be fair, mate, that was 40-50 minutes. We could have gone on forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different avenues you could talk to Sam Briggs about. She's done so many different things. Mm-hmm. You know, like we hardly really touched on CrossFit really, or you know, her football, or I forgot to ask her who she supported, but I'd imagine it's Manchester United. She might surprise me there. It might be Man City. Sorry, Sam, if it is. But yeah, I mean, we could have gone down so many avenues, but to be fair, it was great to hear her side of the Spartan Games, bearing in mind she never met any of those athletes or Joe before. So that was really interesting. Good guest, and hopefully the start of many different types of sport for us here on OCR Audio.
No, definitely. It was great to hear her speak in like positive terms about the Spartan Games. Obviously, it was a completely new style of event that Spartan just created and threw together, I'm guessing, with very little time. I know there was talk about it in the middle of the year, but obviously it took a bit of time to get going, and they invited athletes, as we found out, like 2 weeks before. So it obviously took a little bit of time to get it all sorted and ready, but great to hear that she had an enjoyable time at the events and that she met Joe and didn't find him too crazy.
Which is hard to believe.
But fair play to their Spartan for doing that and putting it on. I'm sure the YouTube series that will be happening will be an amazing one to really watch. But interesting interview, great guest. I think she had so much more to offer. Like you said, we could have talked to her about everything for so much longer, but really good.
For sure. Luke, should we give the listeners the bad news or the good news first?
We'll take the bad news first.
Right, the bad news, guys, is OCR Audio is done. We're 113 episodes in, and we've decided to call it quits on OCR Audio. We are sad about this. I basically can't work with Luke anymore. You know, once a week on Zoom or so, podcast is hard work. So I'm calling it quits. Natasha left because she couldn't stand us either. So it's all falling apart here at OCR Audio. But the good news is we have not completely gone. We are literally just rebranding. Me and Luke have decided that our interest in other sports has grown over the last few months. So we have decided to rebrand OCR Audio as Multisport Media. Now, this could go many different ways. But basically what we want to do is continue bringing you OCR sport and news and interesting things and events. Mm-hmm. As we have been doing from an elite level, but we also want to delve in a bit like what we did with Sam this week. We want to delve into other elite athletes within other sports and then bringing it back to OCR or bringing it back to functional fitness as we like to get involved in adventure racing and triathlon and duathlon and swim runs and all these different things. So please bear with, because obviously this is quite a new thing for us to grab, but we're hoping to bring some awesome guests. And if any of our listeners want us to interview anybody in particular, whether it be an athlete, a coach, you know, someone high in their level, please reach out to us on the Instagram. Although the name will be changing, it'll all come through to the same channel. So please reach out to us. And yeah, we really, I suppose, Luke, we would like to know if people want to listen to a certain person, we could reach out and grab them. Why not? And we can ask them anything you want within reason. So, yeah, we are rebranding to Multisport Media. Isn't that right, Luke?
It is. So OCR Audio, we're not going away. We're not disappearing. It is just literally a name change. And we are still looking to bring you great obstacle course racing content, covering Spartan, Tough Mudder, Toughest, OCR Worlds, World Obstacle Federation information. We will still be trying to be at the heart of most of that information. But we also want to look at other events, the rise of Hyrox, Spartan's creation of the Decafit, adventure racing, triathlons, duathlons, just anything that's kind of multi-sport and endurance kind of sports-esque. We want to try and see if we can reach out, speak to a few other guests. And we just found when we wanted to do that with OCR Audio, because we were very OCR based, we weren't taking the guests as much as we could. So we're looking to just try and move it on, try and grow ourselves as a podcast, bring new listeners, new guests, more exciting guests as well to different topics. But yes, we will still bring you the key OCR information. And yes, Jack has decided to come back to the mic and work with me, obviously, after.
Yeah, I had one week off. I missed Luke so much. I wanted to come back.
He texted me after 10 minutes, so get rid of him, really.
No, for sure, for sure. And of course, me and Luke, especially Luke, has got a lot of ideas in the pipeline. So, like I say, bear with. Hopefully, if we can achieve what we want to achieve, there'll be some really cool, epic things going forward, like I say, with race RDs and video and media, and hopefully, you know, live at racing and stuff. I mean, the setup now, we've grown a lot, we've got the setup, we've got the gear, we can really bring you some really cool stuff. So please bear with, and any suggestions, obviously, get across to info@OCR Audio, which it is for the minute, info@OCRAudio.co.uk, or reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, personally, Jack Carpenter Coaching on Instagram, or Luke DeBen personally, and we'll get the message and hopefully we'll get back to you ASAP. Yeah, so we've babbled on for ages. We're going to go leave you to your Sunday, Monday run night, whatever day you're running, and we'll go from there. No worries. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, guys.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and we speak to you soon in a bit.
Peace.